It's a pleasure to meet you, Mr. Dunbar. Is Hunter Dunbar here tonight?
That's enough.
I need to get an autograph. Don't let him do this to me.
I'm a fan.
I'm a number one fan.
Is it difficult to find famous people's houses?
I use my Star Map app. You have to be careful. I don't want you to be accused of stalking.
Hey, you can't just come to my private residence looking for me. Listen, pal, I don't know how you found me, but I don't ever want to see you in this neighborhood again.
I just wanted an autograph!
Wait! Wait! Wait!
Out of your mind?
G'day everyone, this is B. Jemine, aka The Terrible Australian, and welcome back to the latest episode of the Super Podcast. However, this edition, of course, is our very popular audio commentary editions. And of course, with me as always is my lovely co-host, the one, the only, Super Marcy. Hello, Marcy, how are you?
Hi, Bede. I'm doing well. How are you?
Not too bad, not too bad. A bit busy as of late because currently, at least at the time of when this recording was happening, I am in the process of moving to a new place. So I'm at the moment only just packing up everything at the moment, and then hopefully once restrictions go down, I can finally just start moving everything over there. And but we're also doing some little bit of renovations to it as well, mainly just painting at the moment, sort of give it a bright new bit of color. But I'm really excited to move into my very first home, Marcy. I mean, home as in that I own myself, so...
Cool.
And my smoke alarm just went off, so as you can hear in the background.
Yes. Well, congratulations on owning your own apartment. That's very cool.
Yes. Well, me and one of my brothers. So,
Well, with you and your brother, but which is awesome. And I just moved into a new place, but we are just renting. So there's that. Just been getting settled in, and this is the first time I'm recording from my new place, so it's pretty cool. I've got my own little studio set up, so it's very cool.
Yeah, I know. I've seen what your little podcasting room looks like, and it's pretty awesome. And whenever I come over to catch up with you and your fiance Graham, we can do tons of podcasts in there.
We can, absolutely.
Yeah.
100%.
But, which is pretty exciting, even in these sort of trying times of COVID and a bunch of other stuff as well, like we're still keeping ourselves busy and we're just moving around a lot. So it's probably the best time to do all that stuff. But
yeah.
but despite all this stuff though, we're here today because we are doing our, like I said, our very popular audio commentary editions of the show.
Yes.
And for this one, we've decided that we're going to do a film that I've already done a bad movie tweet up on before.
Yeah.
But after I introduced you to the film the other day when I came over to visit you and Graham,
yep.
You became so obsessed with it and you were like, just message me this morning saying, we got to do a commentary for this right now.
Yeah.
And of course, that movie is... The Fanatic, starring John Travolta and directed by Fred Durst of Limp Bizkit.
Yes. That is the movie.
It has been a while since we've actually done a commentary together. I think the last one we did... I can't even remember what the last commentary we did.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I know I did Silent Night, Deadly Night with our good friend Matt Konopka, a.k.a. the Killer Horror Critic, but unfortunately you weren't able to be on that episode. So this will be our first one in a while, and even though I have, like I said, have done a tweet-up on for this, I am always more than happy to sit down and watch The Fanatic with people, because it is becoming the sort of the latest bad movie craze at the moment.
Yeah, it is, and I can see why, and I'm so on board that train, because I'm now obsessed with this movie.
Indeed. I think you and I have just been quoting it nonstop ever since last week.
Yeah. As soon as I saw it, I'm like, yep, this is it.
Yep. And it is the kind of perfect bad movie that you and I kind of like. One that you can definitely tell they were trying to make a good movie, but it's very clear it didn't turn out that way, which makes it even more hilarious.
Yeah, it is pretty freaking hilarious. Like, wow. So hopefully with this audio commentary, we can bring some joy in people's lives.
Exactly.
I find really funny about this movie, it is like the ultimate, like, Stan movie, and the guy that played Stan in Eminem's music video is the subject of the fandom. I don't know if that was done on purpose or it was a really good coincidence, but yeah.
Exactly. I think we'll get into that when we get into the commentary, because we'll have a lot to talk about with this movie. Because believe us, people, there is, if you haven't seen this movie, definitely watch it, because believe us, there is a lot to talk about with this movie.
Yeah.
Yes. So we'll get right to it, because we don't want to keep our audience in suspense when it comes to this movie. But for all our listeners out there who have never listened to any of our commentaries before, and on a side note to that, how dare you? you should actually listen to all our commentaries because they're the best, but I digress. But for those out there who haven't listened to our commentaries before, what we're going to do, we're going to play the movie at a very specific point. We're going to be playing this movie from the very beginning. So if you got a copy of the film, play it at, I guess, 00000.
Yeah.
So that way we can all be in sync. But I know certain copies of films like have different credits and all that. So we'll usually, if they do, we'll put it at a very specific part of the credits. But for this copy that we're watching, we're going to be watching it from the very beginning. So, and I'll count us down from 5, and then you play the film when I say go. So if you've got all your copies ready, and I know Marcy and I do with ours. So I'll count us down.
Yep.
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
All right. It is playing. It is a Quiver distribution film.
Exactly. And from Redbox Entertainment. Do you remember Redbox, Marcy?
Not really, no.
Yeah, well, I know they basically were like that company that, like, every time you go to a shopping mall, they would always have, like, the big sort of DVD, like, stands where you would rent DVDs and everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was that company. I don't know if they had it here in Australia, but they definitely had a variation of it here in Australia.
Yeah. Who's Bill Kenwright?
I am not exactly sure. But I bet he regrets being involved with this movie now.
And you are a fan. Without you, I'm nothing. Hunter Dunbar.
Actually, I think we might have to stop because I can't even hear anything.
That's because the volume's really low.
Oh, okay.
That way we can actually hear each other.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe if we just go... Okay, maybe we might go back to the start because I didn't realize that.
That's all right. No one cares, Bede.
Okay, well, our copy we turned down low. I didn't realize that, so.
Bede.
So we're getting all these establishing shots of Los Angeles. Mm. And, of course, there's narration by, I guess, the friend of the main character, Moose, who's a character named Leah.
Mm.
And what I love about her narration throughout this whole movie, like, you can definitely tell, because Fred Durst also co-wrote the screenplay for this as well.
Mm.
You can definitely tell that he is trying to kind of say something with this narration and be kind of profound with what he's
Something about, like, I don't know, how a place like Los Angeles or Hollywood... is scum, and treats people badly, I think, is what he wants to say.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, it thinks that what it's saying is really deep, but it's just something that the thing is, it's not something that we haven't already known before, but it's kind of very shallow.
Yeah, it just, I don't know what it wanted to do, and then this animation, like, what? Why?
Yeah, the animation is weird. I mean, it's definitely memorable, and it kind of reminds me a little bit of the old Mambo designs.
Mm.
But it's just so weird, and it doesn't really add anything to the film.
It really doesn't. That's, the opening line of this movie is amazing.
Oh, yeah. It pretty much sums up what you're going to get from this whole movie.
I can't talk too long. I got to poo.
And if anyone missed that, he said, I can't talk too long, I got a poo.
I can imagine John Travolta, when he got the script of this, he read this line, it was like, oh my gosh, jeez, I gotta do this movie.
He was like, oh my god, it's brilliant.
Look at that hair.
I don't know.
I know it's a wig, but it is the worst fucking wig I have ever seen in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, so...
Oh, sorry.
Go right ahead.
I was like, so the main character Moose is, I guess, supposed to be. He's intellectually disabled.
Yeah, I think it's pretty clear. I think in interviews and that they said like, oh, he's on the autism spectrum.
Mm. But this is not at all like. I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of like this, as somebody who actually is on the spectrum myself, this is a very sort of stereotypical kind of performance of what a lot of people on the spectrum is like.
Yeah, I think it's, not only is it stereotypical, which is not okay, it's really over the top, which is also not okay.
Yeah, but I guess what, I know I shouldn't be offended by this performance, Marcy. Not to say, but I guess why it doesn't really bother me as much is because it's just so cartoonish.
It is really cartoonish. You can't, there's no way you can take it seriously.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just such a weird kind of performance from Travolta as well.
$800? Listen, it's never really been an item in the Moose range.
It kind of performance is like, you know, like, well, like, John Travolta must have, like, watched Rain Man in preparation for this movie.
Yeah.
But Rain Man was, like, a way better movie than
I think he watched Rain Man in reverse, in rewind or something.
Exactly. Because most of this movie... I just can't get over the look of Moose in this film. Like, every sort of choice that Travolta and Fred Durst sort of created with this the look of this character is an obvious choice.
Yeah. Don't forget it. It is.
I just like the shop that they're in right now, because he's in this... I guess it's kind of a movie memorabilia shop?
It's like a memorabilia antique shop?
Yeah.
And he goes and wears this vest the wrong way around. Like, it's a vest from the movie, it sounds like a shit Z-grade movie, that Hunter Dunbar, who Moose is a big fan of, was in. And he's got this replica vest from the movie, and he's wearing it the wrong way around.
Yeah, I'm not sure why he's wearing it backwards. I guess to show...
And I don't know how he could have taken selfies with that angle.
I don't think John Travolta has ever taken a selfie in his entire life until this movie.
Yeah. And this weird credit sequence is also shown at the end for some reason. And then you can see, like, the vest on Devon Sauer, or however you say his name.
Yeah.
Not to be offensive, I just never knew how to say it.
Yeah, I think it is Sauer. I think that's how you pronounce it.
Sauer?
It could be Sauer or Sauer. Might be Sauer. I apologize.
Casper himself.
Yes. Although, he's like slowly morphing into Anthony Michael Hall, like he is now. Although, I think I do agree with what you were saying. Like, I don't think it was a coincidence that Fred Durst cast Devon Sawa in a movie where he is being stalked by someone, since of course he did play the ultimate stalker, Stan, in the Eminem music video with the same name.
Yeah. It had to have been done on purpose.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I don't get these credit things. I really don't. I don't get it.
Yeah. And I just noticed there's just like a ton of executive producers on this movie. And even John Travolta's a producer on it. So this
movie
was a movie that he believed in.
Yeah, I think they need to do a movie again.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I did read somewhere that John Travolta said that Fred Durst is one of the best directors he has ever worked with.
Yeah, probably because he let him do whatever he wanted.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, John Travolta's the guy who has worked with, like, you know, Terrence Malick, Brian De Palma, Quentin Tarantino, and it's like, oh, Fred Durst is one of the best, if not the best director I've ever worked with.
Yeah. That's because he was like, here's the script, do what you want.
I think that's probably why, he's considered his favorite.
And I don't know how he lives in this place with the job that he has.
Yeah, we'll get to the job that he has. But yeah, even when it comes up, I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's not the kind of job that gives you a lot of money to live in a place this big.
And all he wears are like Hawaiian shirts.
Yeah. Although I'm sort of curious as a big horror fan just to have a look at everything in his apartment.
Yeah, and I don't know, like, how long has Hunter Dunbar been making movies for them to still be on VHS?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I guess maybe, I mean, if we're going by Devon Sawa's real age, I guess maybe since the late 90s, maybe?
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, because, I mean, he was a child star, and then, of course, by the time the late 90s came around, he did, like, you know, Idle Hands and Final Destination.
Yeah, they were on VHS, I suppose. Mm.
Yeah, so maybe it's like he's been a fan of his ever since he was, like, in his late teens or maybe early teens.
So, like, over 20 years?
Yeah.
And this is his one and only friend, and I don't know how they ever met.
Yeah, I'm very curious about this friendship. I will say this, and I said this in my tweet of mine. They're basically the Johnny and Denny of this movie.
Yeah.
Except it's kind of role reversed.
Although it almost feels like instead of playing someone who was on the spectrum, he's playing someone he thinks is 5 years old.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because it's like he brings... He kind of plays the character like he's a child.
Yeah, because he's like, oh, I've been waiting for like 200 hours.
Hmm. Yeah, it's kind of like, now, like I said, like, you know, it is called the autism spectrum, and there's so many different, and autism sort of affects people in different ways.
Mm.
But I don't think I've ever come across, at least for me personally, or other people on the spectrum, who kind of act the way that he does in this film. Like, you're having that sort of more child.
Yeah, it feels like he's playing, like, a 5 or 6-year-old.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like.
Hmm. I just want to find out the research that Travolta did when it came to this performance.
Hey, B, don't you have sneakers like John Travolta's?
Actually, I do. I do have the same sneakers. I'm kind of freaking out right now.
You got to start wearing those weird Hawaiian shirts.
I just want to wear that Hawaiian shirt because it's got all, like, Universal Monsters on it.
And the way he talks. Oh, my God. Why?
Even the dialogue is...
The dialogue's horrendous.
Oh, yeah. Like, the thing is, though, when I've told people, like, oh, yeah, Fred Durst made this movie. It's like, wait, Fred Durst made a movie? And but they're even more shocked when I tell, oh, well, technically it's his third film as his director. Well, previous to this, he made a coming-of-age teen film in 2008 called The Education of Charlie Banks with Jesse Eisenberg and Jason Ritter. That was actually a pretty good movie. Then he made after that kind of this Disney-esque sports film called The Long Shots with Ice Cube, which I haven't seen since that came out, but I remember it being kind of okay average.
Yeah.
But those two films compared to this one, those two films felt much more accomplished in how they were made as films compared to this. This movie almost feels more like Tommy Wiseau directed it than Fred Durst.
Yeah, I just, the performance is just not,
how are you this evening?
Yeah, it just doesn't work.
Yeah. Now he's at this party, like, trying to get Hunter Dunbar's autograph. And we just missed the part where he, like, goes up to a barman and asks, I want a milkshake.
Yeah, I was going to say, he asked for a milkshake at a bar. That's a child.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And, of course, he's just talking to some random actress who he's a, I'm a big fan of yours.
Yeah, he's... dialogue is really bad.
But also the delivery of it as well.
Yeah.
One thing's for sure, I think based on the two previous movies and also his music video work, Brenda actually does have some talent as a director. But I think he should just keep away from the keyboard when it comes to writing. Just let me have one autograph, Amanda. Now, Marcy, you and I have met celebrities in the past and got autographs of that. Have we ever? I think we've never acted like this, right?
We've never acted anywhere near this. We've seen some people act like that, but not like the way he's doing it.
Yeah.
Like people just obviously overdoing it, but not like that.
Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, we tend to not freak the fuck out of people, so...
I mean, we do get starstruck, but we never become, like...
Yeah.
Like, legitimately freak out like he just did.
Yeah. Know.
Although I will admit, and I guess the biggest connection we have, one of us has to this movie is that I did meet John Travolta at Adelaide Supernova last year.
Yeah.
And when I met him, and I did kind of freak out a little bit... But not to the extent, like freaky kind of freak out. It was more like starstruck kind of freak out.
And then were you like, The Fanatic is your best movie?
I think I told them that Blowout was one of my favorites of his. I should have told them. I don't think I actually saw The Fanatic up to that point.
Oh, damn.
So I couldn't have asked them about it.
Yeah. See, now that I've said it, it is like he is a fucking kid.
Yeah. I can do what I want. You're not my
mom. And then he says, I can do what I want. You're not my mom. But he says it seriously. When you say it, you're obviously being, you know, a moron.
Yeah.
Now he's doing weird things to stick his finger up at her. And there's Freddy. He's obviously offended. No, Freddy. Freddy.
That's what Freddy thinks of this. That's what Freddy thinks of this movie.
Yeah. Freddy? No. Freddy, no.
No.
That's what
Freddy,
we have to put
no.
up with when we want to record a podcast.
Yeah. Okay, now we've finally got to
Freddy.
What Moose does as a job.
Freddy. Yeah.
He works as one of those, those got people who dress up as, like, celebrities and characters in front of a man's Chinese theater.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and he plays, like, a British cop.
Yeah. And he plays it as if he's a child.
Yeah, although I have to admit, like, how he plays the British cop just reminds me of Daniel Day-Lewis's performance in There Will Be Blood. I drink your milkshake. I drink it up.
But no one ever gives him any money, so I don't understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't
know. He probably just gets paid by bosses and all that.
I don't know.
And I mean, I don't know how. I assume like it's probably the same like with any job. You get paid like a regular wage, and then whatever your money you make from tourists and all that when they see your act on the street is like extra income.
Yeah, I have no idea. That sounds a bit too generous to me.
Then you got this dickhead right here.
Yeah.
I honestly think, like, even though John Travolta is bad in this movie, I think this guy, like, his arch nemesis, is, like, the worst actor. Because he's meant to be, I guess, meant to be, like, a Chris Angel kind of magician, like, using creepy nail, like, putting nails in himself as magic tricks.
Yeah.
But the thing is that he has his little sidekick guy who's actually played by the son of Bill Paxton, the late great Bill Paxton, and he's just like wandering around the crowd and just stealing wallets out of people's pockets and that.
Yeah.
But they're still getting money anyway, so why even bother doing that?
I don't know. Does any of this make sense? No.
Yeah, there's a lot of things in this movie that don't make sense.
Can you just call him Slim?
Yeah. Ah, is that kind of a reference to Slim Shady, a.k.a. Eminem?
Maybe.
I'm surprised Fred Durst didn't try to get Eminem to be in this movie. Well, if he's just the best actor on the planet, how come we've never heard of him? I guess Hunter Dunbar, at least in the universe of this movie, like, it sort of never really explains what type of actor is he. Is he, like, famous for action movies or horror films or maybe both?
Yeah, it doesn't really say, does it?
But I guess he's meant to be maybe like a Bruce Campbell type, like a more of a cult movie actor.
Yeah, see, I just don't know.
I'm sort of basing it like, the type of movies he's appeared in, like the posters and the clips and that you see, and also I guess his fans being in the shop here.
Yeah, well, he obviously wrote a book for something.
Hmm. I got Visa V markers. Yeah, great, cool. You can use one if you want. Awesome.
How am I making this out to? Alex. Yeah. So, what sort of book did he write? Like biography.
Based on the critic blurb in the back, it's a fascinating peek into the industry.
So it must be like an autobiography then.
Yeah. Well, maybe he's kind of
horror
like
horror movie hero, Hunter Dunbar, live and in person. That's what the sign says.
Hmm. Dream sequence.
Really fucking weird.
Yeah, just put Dreamweaver, like how it was used in Wayne's World over this scene. It could be just like Moose having love eyes for Hunter Dunbar.
But it's so weird, it's so creepy.
Yeah.
Ugh. I don't like it. Thank you. Excuse me, Mr. Dunbar.
Yeah, a woman named Brenda out back. She says she needs to speak to you. And we're going to find out very quickly, and this is one thing I will give the movie credit for, is you're going to find out in a few seconds how much of a dick Hunter Dunbar is.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of funny, because usually in movies that deal with stalkers, like the character who's being stalked, they always try to always make likable and, you know, sympathetic, but clearly not in this movie.
No. And Moose doesn't understand when he said he'll be back. He's not leaving.
Yeah.
How are you doing here? This is the ex-wife or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And his son in the back of the car.
Mr. Dunbar, I was an ex-fan online. I think you forgot. Hey,
just take it easy, buddy. I sure will. Give me a minute, okay? But that being said, though, I can also see like how Hunter would react to this, because he's just been there talking to his wife, and then this fan just comes out of nowhere and invades your space.
Yeah, no, I'd be pissed off too.
Hmm.
I'd be like, what the fuck, man?
I mean, you punch me every time I just walk past you, so.
Yeah, I know, right? But he's just so... It just doesn't work.
Yeah.
I just can't even with this movie, honestly.
But the reaction shots you just get to Travolta when they go back to his face is hilarious.
It's just so dumb.
Mm.
I'm on your side. You're the best, Mr. Dunbar. You're the best.
You need to learn some fucking manners, buddy.
I'm sorry, Mr. Dunbar, but I have every VHS, I have every DVD, and you're so rad in the Warrior. I just don't want you not to sign my stuff.
You came to the place where I'm officially done.
Well, but where do you see the special items that I have? This is Space Vampires.
How did I sign your Space Vampires? Vampires must have been very early in his career.
Must have been. I don't know.
Although it's funny, though, because Space Vampires was the original title of Life Force. So I'm just going to assume that Hunter Dunbar starred in some kind of variation of that movie.
It was a remake in the 90s.
Yes.
Now he wants to find a celebrity house. Because that's clearly the next logical step, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, sometimes it can be tricky. But
I just want to know how these two met.
I don't know. To find Hunter Dunbar's
house? I can't think of one good reason why you, of all people, should know where Hunter Dunbar lives.
Yeah, Leah's not probably the best of the friends because she's basically like enabling his behavior.
Yeah. She really is.
Because he's like wants to find out where Hunter Dunbar lives and other celebrities, and she's like, all right, I'll show you this app.
Yeah, she's like, I'll give you this app to stalk them.
But if I give you this app, you can't go see those celebrities.
Pretty cool, right?
Is this for real?
Yeah.
Actually, if you look closely on the app, some of the names that pop up on the app are Jack Torrance and Tyler Durden.
Oh. How clever.
Yeah. That's the problem with this movie. It thinks it's clever, but it's not really.
No, like, at all.
And it doesn't help that it looks like the way it's shot makes it look like one of those, like, early to mid-2000s softcore porn films.
Maybe that's what he had in mind, I don't know.
It would make a lot of sense.
Hmm. It would.
I love you.
And also, if it's not obvious enough, his name is Moose, and he's a big fan of someone named Hunter. See what's the connection there? Moose, Hunter.
Mmm.
Again, not very subtle.
Hello?
Leah! Thank you so much!
It's so weird.
Just being around the house.
It's awesome! It's so awesome! Ben Affleck's house?
You leave Ben Affleck alone, Moose. I just like how it's like he mentions all these celebrities, including Jamie Lee Curtis, which is kind of funny since they worked together on Perfect, hit her and Travolta.
Mm.
It's like, I could go meet all these bigger celebrities, but no, I'm just going to stalk this B-grade celebrity named Hunter Dunbar.
Yeah.
Dear Slim.
Now he's writing a letter.
Dear Slim, I wrote to you once. But you still ain't calling. Actually, I think that was the first thing that popped into my mind in this letter writing scene was the Stan music video.
That's exactly like what I thought straight away. I'm like, really?
But I honestly think some of the dialogue in that is narrated here, I think is in some parts is almost word for word from the song. Take the time to give me one autograph. I think when we watched this movie together for the first time, I actually looked up the lyrics afterwards, and some of them were almost dead on to what he says in this scene. To show your fans. Again, is it possible that it's deliberate? I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, definitely.
So hopefully he paid.
P.S. Your number one fan, Stan.
Love,
Moose.
Dan, I mean Moose.
2845. And now he just fucking casually ghosts with house.
Although I'll say this, I would rather Moose stalk me. If I was being stalked, I'd rather Moose stalk me than Stan.
I don't know. I'd rather none of them stalk me.
That is very true.
Now he goes and takes a fucking selfie outside his house. Like, what does he think's gonna happen? Like, I don't get it.
Well, here comes Hunter Dunbar up the road, riding with his stud on his, who's on a bike. Uh-oh. Womp, womp, womp.
Help you?
I'm looking for a much better celebrity's house.
Okay. I'm going inside his house for a second. Fire up the Xbox, all right? I'll be in a minute.
I'm going to beat the shit out of this guy.
Hi, Danny. Hi, Danny.
Jesus, Devin Sawa's a bit fit.
Yeah, I know, right? Hello.
Like, that's like a skin-tight shirt right there.
Yeah.
But I suppose if he's technically playing a character who's meant to be like a horror action star, he would have to be.
Maybe he just keeps fit because he's Devin Sawa.
Well, that is true. And Devin Sawa is actually pretty awesome on Twitter.
Yeah, he's one of my favorites, actually. I accept letters here. I hope he never hears this commentary. I say that like tomorrow he goes and downloads it.
Yeah, but we only give a lot of praise to Devin Sawa because, like, it's not easy. You understand? He does a good job playing a dick in this movie.
It's not easy playing opposite John Travolta doing this performance.
And actually giving a better performance, too. What, he's some sort of freak
autograph hound that won't leave me the... Yeah, he's probably he is the best actor in this movie.
Well, at least his performance is consistent.
Yeah.
Compared to everybody else in this whole movie.
Yeah. Like, without a doubt.
Thank you. I got your autograph.
See, I thought he stabbed him.
Yeah, that's how it looks like from this angle.
But he just wrote his name on his top. Fuck out of here. I mean, look, to be fair, if this idiot was stalking me, I'd be pretty fucking pissed off. But after the second time I saw him, I would have called the cops.
Yeah, I guess that's like one of the biggest plot holes of this whole movie is like, why doesn't fucking Hunter just call the cops on him?
I don't know.
The cops don't exist in this movie until the very end. Spoilers.
I was going to say, wait, cops exist in this movie? Meeting them is not
the problem. You shouldn't meet
really heroes. Doesn't feel like it.
When you get too close.
When you're Hunter Dunbar.
Close enough to see what's behind the mask. See, this so-called quote-unquote deep dialogue.
Yeah, I know.
But it's something like you can just get out of fortune cookie, really.
Yeah. Well, you really don't need it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it doesn't really add anything to the movie.
Nah. I don't think anything in this movie adds anything to the movie.
That is very true.
And this again. This weird fucking costume.
I just shot all these scenes in one day within the costume. You know what's funny? Because somebody mentioned the other day, like, wrote a tweet. This would have been a few weeks back. And they asked a really good question, and I had to really think about this. What was the last John Travolta movie you'd seen in the cinema? A lot of people think I'm from London. I think it was Savages for me.
I didn't see that at the cinema either.
And that made me think, because, like, ever since, like, because it's weird, because John Travolta's career in the last maybe 8 years or so, he's kind of been gone down this whole... like Nicolas Cage and Bruce Willis, the sort of starring in VOD movies. Like, sometimes you, at least with Nicolas Cage, he'll be in something that's actually good, or at least something like a big cinema release, like Mandy. And Bruce Willis, well, he just shows up in a movie for 5 minutes just to collect his paycheck and then leave.
Yeah.
But John Travolta, it's like... I guess the difference between those two is that every now and again, John Travolta will star in some kind of movie that that's almost on the so bad it's good spectrum.
Yeah.
Because it did this and also Gotti.
Yeah.
It's like back to back with those movies.
You call that slow? See? I call that ball a little fake blood, a little movie magic.
No, they're just being really mean to him.
Hmm. And no, for no particular reason. But I guess it's meant to be, you know, obviously a scene that makes you sympathetic to Moose because he is being bullied around and everything.
Mm.
So I think that's kind of another interesting thing about the film. It kind of, which I will give credit to Fred Durst for, is like he plays up kind of and subverts those expectations when it comes to how we see characters in a stalker film.
Yeah.
Because, like, of course, like, Hunter Dunbar in a usual one would be the sympathetic, likable one, but he ends up being a dick. And then Moose here, even though, like, what he's doing is really bad, it shows kind of the sympathetic qualities of the character. There's an interesting movie in here, but this is just not it.
Nope. It sure isn't.
Why are you letting those fucking freaks push you around like that?
They're just playing.
You're a good guy, Moose. You shouldn't be messing
around. Until you start stalking other celebrities.
You
can't let people keep shitting on you. One day you're going to need to learn how to stand up for yourself.
Maybe he wants to be shit on.
You have to learn how to fight back.
Okay? I'm late. I've got to go.
Do you have to poop
again? Okay. I think he does, although he's gone in the wrong direction. The toilets were back there.
I have no idea why Moose would go back to that man's house.
Really? Commentary over the movie?
I suppose when you find the cookie jar, it's hard not to go back
for more.
Okay. So deep. So deep.
No, it's not.
I also like how Hunter Dunbar's fence is like, seriously, look how small it is.
Yeah, no, anyone could break in. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Moose is never given an actual name.
Yeah, it's just Moose.
It's just Moose.
And that haircut.
Yeah, that fucking hair.
I'm going to cosplay as him one day.
I dare you to.
And I'm going to have that haircut.
If you don't, I'll be sad.
It must be, like, the easiest cosplay of all time. Just find shorts and a Hawaiian shirt and that fucking haircut and you're ready to go.
And make sure you got big white socks to hike up.
Yep. It's like every time John Travolta is on screen, he has this look like, duh.
Very much.
Get out of the movie! Run away!
You're not wanted in this movie, you're making it bad.
I'm gonna beat you over the head with this Oscar wannabe award I've got.
Yeah, I don't know what that's meant to be.
We should say that Leah works as a paparazzo.
I think so.
That's probably how they sort of met, I guess.
I would assume maybe just on the street.
It's funny that you mentioned Dunbar, because I was just at his house.
Stalking him, maybe.
Nope. I used a star map app, the one that you told me about, takes you directly to his house. And his plants, he should take better care of his plants.
You told him about it? What the fuck do you think he was going to do with it?
Yeah, exactly.
Not stalk Hunter Dunbar?
Yeah, especially like if he knows what he's like.
Yeah.
Just dropped a letter off of his house, that was it.
This is really bad.
But I think the thing, I guess, what does kind of somewhat offend me about this performance is, like, everyone tells, like, Moose not to do it over and over again, and he just, like, he still goes and does it anyway.
Yeah.
I'm not a stalker, Leah.
Like,
You're so mean! Our favorite line in the whole movie. You're so mean.
My BBF, she does not.
That's how I react whenever you and I ever had a fight. You know, she's not my BFF. She's not.
Yeah, pretty true. Fuck off, Todd.
Now, if Moose, we'll see what he does to him in a second, but, like, this is probably the only time it's like, yeah, no, I'm Moose. Yeah, beat the shit out of him.
Pretty much.
What drugs, Daddy?
You don't have the balls to get what you want. All right, I got this guy's such a dick.
God, no. Eddie's performance is terrible.
It's so bad. Go, Moose. Okay.
This whole freak out thing. I wish Freddy Krueger would come and cut off your head.
Isn't this what happens to you all the time, babe?
Oh, no.
You have a freak out, that's what happens.
Then I just use, like, I wish Freddy Krueger and Jason Voorhees would kill you.
They're not worth it anyway. Moose.
Moose.
Are you getting trouble?
Did you choke out a bitch?
I'm proud of you.
You proud of me?
Yeah. Now he's told, he's like, you know, oh, I'm proud of you because you defended yourself. And because he's a kid, not an adult, he's like, oh, better Dumbo.
Yeah.
So I wasn't making fun of him, like, I was just using a voice. Just making that clear, by the way.
Yeah, we're not, obviously I'm not offended, but we don't want people to think that we are being mean to other people on the spectrum. It's just more of this performance.
It's just how his performance is.
Yeah, exactly.
He's always like, he's mean.
Yeah, because you're right. He just plays him more like a child than anything else.
Yeah, it really, it feels like he's a kid, not an adult.
Now here comes, like, now we're back to Hunter Dunbar talking to the maid.
He likes to put his penis inside.
Clearly this was inspired by the whole Arnold Schwarzenegger and the maid scandal, which we...
Feels like it, doesn't it?
I don't wish we made fun of a lot back in the day when we did the Commando commentary.
Yeah, because that was the week it came out.
It's okay. I will not make. I will not have sex with you right now. But I will stick my tongue in your mouth instead. Give me a baby.
Ew.
You're the maid. And the thing is, you find out later, it's like, I kissed the maid again. It's like, what?
Yeah. That's my fault.
This isn't the first time?
It's just, I don't think we can do that anymore.
Oh, he's going to be so sad.
But who? But which maid am I going to have sex with now?
He's got to hire a new one.
Like, giving me sex and stuff. Because that's what all babes do, right?
Yeah, that's what I thought they did.
With Clarice.
Although, if you're Jeff Lowe, apparently that's the nanny's job.
Sorry, senor, I was listening into my music. Big ear stereotypes.
Yeah.
She's concerned, which, you know, makes me very concerned. See someone strange in the yard today?
We have the obvious Mexican gardener with the it is obviously a Mexican actor, but clearly they're doing the most stereotypical performance as well. It's raining out? Where's the fucking rain?
I don't really see the rain.
I see a drop or two, but that's not really rain.
No, not really. I don't get this movie.
Like in Troll 2, when they say, oh, it's night out, but it's friggin' daylight outside.
Yeah. And apparently it's raining. Here we go.
Doopy doopy doo.
just a maid.
I just don't know how
really
the
weird cleaning device.
I'm just not. How did no one ever see the letter there? And also, how
I
on earth can she not see him right there?
They don't know.
It's not like he's hiding. He's out in the open.
He was out in the open.
I'm gonna beat you with this. With this
she's
feather duster.
Bashing him with a weird feather duster.
And then, ooh.
And then somehow he learns how to do a smack.
Are you okay?
She's hit her head. She's somehow got a broken nose and face, and she's clearly not breathing and dead.
Mm.
But he can't comprehend she's dead. He just killed her.
And he's, like, watches a lot of movies, so you'd think, like, you would know what death is. Like,
you'd think...
this person's dead. Let's get I'm getting the fuck out of here.
Yeah, but he
didn't
get it.
And what's the... I mean, if you're in a normal situation like this, and you've accidentally killed someone, you'd get the fuck out of there, but nope, Moose decides to go inside the house and check it out.
Yep, because that's Moose.
And obviously this scene, and this is my theory, why John Travolta considers Fred Durst to be one of the best directors he's ever worked with, I bet Fred Durst was like, okay, John, we got this scene where you're looking around the house, like, and checking everything out. Just do whatever the hell you want. Just do whatever.
Yeah.
And he's, like, taking selfies.
And he's, like, shaking and... Yeah.
Mm.
Wait, they give awards for best stunts?
Yeah, to an actor. Or best makeup. Moose is in the house.
And he happens to have antlers in his house.
Oh my gosh, jeez, Moose is in the house. Oh my gosh, jeez.
There was no direction in these scenes at all.
They just put the camera down and just let him go for broke.
Wow.
We're going to go for lunch, John. Go do whatever you want. The camera's just going to be here watching you. It probably says in the script, Moose goes nuts in the house. And it's just like one page. It's kind of like in They Live. You know, like the famous like back brawl in the street?
Yeah.
John Carpenter, basically when he wrote that, instead of writing this full-fledged, like fully in-depth way on how they fight, he just wrote in the script, they fight. and that was pretty much it on the page.
Good, Dunbar.
Moose finds the script and he says, wow, oh my gosh, this movie is so bad. He shouldn't, Hunter Dunbar shouldn't star it. And it's just the script for The Fanatic.
What is he doing and why?
He's brushing his teeth with Hunter's toothbrush.
But why?
I suppose it could be worse. He could be putting it down the toilet.
No, that's just for Married at First Sight in Australia.
Exactly.
Now he's looking at recordings on the video camera.
I find it weird that this is like 2000, I guess, when did this movie come out? 2018, 2019, and Hunter Dunbar still using a video camera.
They don't get this movie.
Yeah, it's just weird.
It
but it's fascinating. But it's fascinating, though.
Yeah. And he's like, I'm going to go sleep now.
George Bolt is asleep. Is this the... What was I going to say? He's just sleeping in his performance now. He just woke up and he realized, holy shit, I'm in a movie called The Fanatic. I'm a 2-time Academy Award nominee for crying out loud.
I think he likes it, personally.
I think he does. I mean,
I think he considers this his best movie, I don't know.
I think I did read somewhere, I'm not sure where, and I could be wrong, so forgive me for our listeners, that I think he did say that this was one of his favorite performances he's ever done. And he actually won an award at a film festival.
Oh, really?
Yeah, somewhere in Europe.
Oh, that makes sense.
But he also won a Razzie, too, so... Oh my gosh, I better hide around the house before Hunter Dunbar finds me. I'm sorry for my terrible John Travolta impression.
I thought you were going to apologize for his performance in this movie.
I think you should apologize to me for this performance.
How could he not see there's someone there?
I know! He's just literally right there. I mean, if you open up your wardrobe, I'm pretty sure you'd be able to notice right away that someone's fucking hiding behind all your clothes. And it's not like he's hiding down or hunching in the corner. He's, like, literally standing up right there.
Yep.
Hunter Dunbar clearly has their peripheral vision in this whole movie.
Hey, you should know I kissed the maid again.
He kissed the maid again. Well, she's dead. And no one's noticed that she's dead.
I know. It's like the movie has completely forgotten about her. I mean, Hunter Dunbar has a gardener who's always in the backyard. How the fuck does he not know that somebody's
dead? Well, maybe the
dead?
Gardener got pissed off and just never came back.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I probably would quit too if I was working for a guy named Hunter Dunbar.
But, like, what, no one's noticed she's, like, no one's rang because she didn't come home?
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure, like, he must go out in the backyard occasionally.
Wouldn't his kid go play in the backyard?
That is true, but then again, these are 2010 kids, so they're probably inside playing video games all day.
True.
That's my old man talk coming from me. My CBS All Access Red.
Dad, get off friend. My lawn!
Get off my lawn!
How's mom?
Good.
Yeah, she's getting you to school, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, she says that you're also a dick too, Dad.
Oh, that's creepy. Moose is hiding under the son's bed.
Yeah, this movie just...
Yeah, I would have a real problem with this movie if this movie decided to recreate the urban legend of People Lick 2.
Oh, God, please no.
I apologize for that joke, audience.
Yeah, that was not okay. Not okay, B.
But to be fair, I am very... I'm always inappropriate during these audio commentary.
Well, that is true. Usually it's me.
Yeah. I'm going to get cancelled after people
listen to this. To be honest, this movie and its shitness, it speaks for itself. Like, what more could I possibly add to this shitfest? Like, did he take drugs to go to sleep, or did Moose give him drugs?
I think he did take drugs, because you can see the...
The bottle's there, yeah.
Yeah. So
I mean, this explains why he doesn't wake up.
Yeah, they must be very strong. Or it's either that or that script he read next to it just put him to sleep.
Yeah, it was the fanatic.
Yeah, it was either that or Escape Plan 3. Because he was the villain in that movie. I haven't seen it, but I know he's the villain in it.
Well, maybe he's good in it.
I heard he is. He's actually pretty decent. I'll have to check it out and find out for sure. I'm hoping it at least is better than number two, because that movie was terrible.
How did he drop his phone? Like, he can't even hold it.
And, seriously.
Does his phone... What is on the back of his phone?
I don't know.
It's confusing me.
It's probably, like, his credit card. See, why the fuck would you do... Yeah, it's like... Must be some kind of card.
Why'd you kiss him?
And why are you taking selfies? Like, what the fuck, man? First of all... You made the big mistake of not leaving the place after you accidentally murdered the maid, and now you're, like, taking selfies of you inside...
And putting a blanket on him.
And kissing his forehead and taking selfies.
And putting them on your social media.
Exactly.
What's he doing?
He's sniffing his earlobe.
This is... No!
And it's not like I'm putting it up to it. I'm just, like, picking at it and then smelling it off my finger.
Ew, I don't think I noticed this before. This movie. Why is he still rocking?
again, like I, he, what he thinks.
Nobody acts like this.
I mean, there are some people who do, but they're like the more like more sort of worst cases, I would say. But I've never seen anyone do that.
No.
I've seen kids do that.
Yeah.
Maybe, again, he's playing it like the character's a child.
I don't know.
Now we've got a flashback to Moose's childhood, which is in black and white.
Of course it is.
And as I'll give you, like, one guess what movie he's watching, Marcy.
What else would he watch?
He's watching, and of course we get Alisa Set, Night of the Living Dead.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a firm believer that a horror movie isn't a horror movie unless Night of the Living Dead, the original, is not playing on a TV somewhere. But I guess the whole, this flashback is meant to sort of show us, like, A, what his childhood was like, especially what his mum was like, because it's clear that she brings random guys home to have sex with, and she's very neglectful of him.
And he just sat and watched movies. Yeah. And he fell asleep in the chair at his house.
Oh my gosh, jeez, I dreamt I was in the movie Fanatic. Oh, wait, I am.
God.
I would have... Now, here comes another classic moment.
You like a little Limp Bizkit? Really? You had to put that in there, didn't you, Durst?
I've started to think, wonder if, like, Fred Durst, like, is just taking the piss with us with this movie. Is it even Limp Bizkit? It doesn't sound like any Limp Bizkit. It must be from their newer albums.
Yeah, I don't recognize it.
Yeah, at least put, like, Rollin' or My Way on the soundtrack.
I know, right? I really want Fred Durst to call me, because I want to have a discussion about this movie.
We need to try to get him on the show just to talk about this movie.
I know, we need all three people on this podcast.
We need him, John Travolta, and Devon Sawa.
Yeah, first he can teach me how to say his name properly. And then I just want to know everything.
Okay, this is the scene that shows, like, how much... I mean, understandably, he would be angry.
Yeah, I mean, he tried to run him over, and that's just dumb.
Yeah, it's clear that this dude has very big anger issues. You understand? I want you to say it. I want to hear you say it. Are you shitting bullets? No, you idiot! Say you're never coming in this neighborhood again. You know what's funny though? Like, if somebody videotaped this, like a random person, like it put this online saying, like, come to Dunmar harasses mentally challenged man or something like that. I'm surprised the movie didn't go in that direction. Here's another great line.
He's not a stalker.
I am not a stalker, I am a human being. There's those animated sequences again.
Yep.
I find them unsettling. Maybe that's the whole point. I'm also surprised that, given that Fred Durst is all over this movie, like he's the director, co-writer, and producer, he didn't do the score for this movie either.
Yeah.
Downtown. You don't have to. Downtown, cruising through the alley. Yeah, Macklemore should be playing over this thing. It would have made it 10 times better. Well, it's pretty obvious, like, I mean, you know, like, obvious, you know, the films that this is what was inspired by, like, you know, the Stalker films and that, but it's, I think also, like, Taxi Driver would also be another influence. And even Maniac as well. And, like, there was a line of dialogue, I don't know if we missed it or not, but we basically, it's like, oh, the original Maniac, the remake sucks. And it's like, what the fuck, man? but then you sort of notice, like, he also has mannequins himself all over his apartment. Oh, man, this movie's so bad, even the moped decided to break down to get out of it.
The greatest scene of all time is coming up.
Yep.
He's asking if he's alright. Okay. He had a crash and he's asking himself. See, look, he's got mannequins.
This is basically his Tommy Wiseau breaking down scene. Where he's going around breaking everything. Mr. Dummy Bar! Oh, wait a minute, sorry. Oh, my gosh, jeez.
Don't dream
was so stupid.
It was so stupid. Oh, my God. It was stuck by you the whole time.
Me, I did. I think, like, Fred Durst was listening to Stan way too much while watching this movie.
I'd hate to know if Fred Durst had a stalker fanatic like this.
I wouldn't be surprised that's probably where the idea came from. I should have done a bit of research into this before we did the commentary.
And I need to know everything about this movie. I need a making-of documentary that's like 5 hours long.
Or at least, like, how did this get made, finally do an episode on this? They'll probably have the same kind of questions. Okay, Moose, go destroy all that thousands and thousands of dollars worth of memorabilia.
Yeah.
You're a big fake, you're a phony!
You're a phony!
Hunter Dunbar must not be a good actor if he's starring in movies with other really bad titles like Space Vampires, yeah. Ghost Train. Anybody can act except me in this movie! Oh my gosh, jeez!
Oh my god, jeez!
If anyone's wondering why I'm sort of sounding like John Travolta, it's because I'm basing his how he was played in that episode of The Simpsons that Mel Gibson was in. Mel, you said you were supposed to help me move. I don't know what's he... I'm disturbed by that picture up on his wall, the cloud. Look at it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Here we go. You're tearing me apart, Lisa, of this movie.
But it's even better dialogue.
I know.
Look, he's even got a big M on his door for Moose.
You look like shit. It smells like gasoline. I mean, the hair, the glasses, the Hawaiian shirts, and gold. So,
been using your Star Map app to visit some friends?
What are you talking about?
You've been using your social media to
broadcast... See, this is what I'm talking about. He's posting all his stalkery stuff online. Why would you do that?
Maybe she's the only follower and she's too stupid to report it to the cops?
Yeah, you would think, like if Moose has, say, followers and stuff, you would think one of them immediately would be like, yeah, we better call the cops on this.
Mm.
Well, maybe Hunter Dunbar would, but clearly he doesn't give a shit.
Give me your phone, or this is it. Okay? No more borrowing money. No more
but yeah, the thing is, like, I should be offended by this performance, but the thing is, he's not playing a person on the autism spectrum. He's playing an idiot. Wait a minute.
Playing a 5-year-old kid.
You're mean! That's it, Lisa. You're blocked.
You're blocked from my social media.
You get out of here.
He did that blocking really quickly.
Yeah, I know, right? It's probably already open. But that's the best line of the whole movie. You're mean. I'm blocking you on my social media.
And some more drawings for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Is this supposed to represent his descent into madness? I don't know.
I think so.
I think that's a bit too clever for this movie.
Or obvious.
Yeah.
But I guess it kind of explains, like, whatever kind of sleeping pills Hunter Dunbar takes, it must be really strong that he can sleep through the fact that he's being friggin' tied up to his bed.
Apparently.
Wait a second, why do I have a gag in my mouth? This is the same reaction that every audience member had when they were first watching this movie. What the fuck? What the fuck? Help! Oh my gosh. What did I do last night? That's not the me! I just find it really weird that John Travolta knows what Saw is now.
Maybe I'll star in the next one.
Yes. Moose is actually Jigsaw. And now he's Jason Voorhees.
Jason Voorhees.
I'm surprised they got the rights to that mask.
But see how it feels like it's a child.
Yeah. Like, even though that's a prop knife, it's like leaving blood marks all over it.
Yeah, it is.
It's clearly still sharp. I'm such a good actor. Maybe not in this movie, but I'm still such a good actor. Oh my gosh, jeez.
Oh my god, jeez.
I'm way better than Jamie Lee Curtis.
Who he keeps bringing up because he was in a movie with her once.
Holy crap.
Hmm. If they ever make a movie, like a sequel to this, they should just cast Jamie Lee Curtis in it. The Fanatic 2, Fanatic Boogaloo.
Now, you know what they should have done for this movie?
What's that?
It should have starred The Undertaker and AJ Styles.
Oh my gosh, yes.
AJ Styles plays Moose and The Undertaker's Hunter Dunbar.
That would be amazing.
If you see the Boneyard match, you'll know why. Son of
a bitch. I just noticed that, like, Hunter Dunbar's got, like, moose antlers as a lamp next to his bed.
Ooh, symbolism.
Symbolism. Metaphors. Because he's Hunter Dunbar. Hunter
and he's
of moose.
Moose. An animal that you can hunt. Be
patient, please. This movie's so deep, man.
This movie's so stupid, it doesn't make any sense.
This movie's so deep, it's giving Ingmar Bergman a run for his money.
And now here's the Tarantino reference, because he was in Pulp Fiction.
But wasn't, like, Mr. Blonde meant also the brother of Vincent Vega from Pulp Fiction, which John Travolta did play?
Mm-hmm.
This is like some meta territory we're going in right now.
Yeah.
You're the meanest person I've ever met in my entire life.
I'm going to say that to you every day now.
What kind of moron do you think I am? Well, a huge moron, really.
Well, you're kind of a moron.
Yeah, he's not playing a person.
You think I'm a stalker? You think I'm a stalker? Well, you are.
I may be a liar, a thief, a stalker, but I'm certainly not a porn star. I also remember, he spoke the line, because the movie begins with, like, a quote from Hunter Dunbar.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
It is, and it's in this fucking scene.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I mean, that, maybe that's the kind of research that Fred Durst did for this movie. It's like, instead of actually trying to find a quote, a real quote,
yeah,
that'd be perfect for this movie, it's like, I'm just going to fucking make it up on my own.
Yeah,
I can't
much.
Be bothered looking for one.
Yeah,
can't be that hard. Just put in, like, Google fan quote, and then something will pop up.
Could have just quoted, probably would have cost money. I was going to say, the Lady Gaga song Paparazzi.
Ooh, that would be a good choice. Just cross
the line. But it probably cost him too much money.
He didn't just cross the line. He fucking nuked it. Well, duh.
And you didn't stop him, Leah.
Yeah, Leah.
You're mean. I'd be scared too. I'm blocking Leah from my social media.
I honestly just don't know what Moose is doing. He's just doing all this shit. He's, like, pretending to, like, set Hunter on fire. He's pretending to stab him. Like, what is the point? What's he trying to do? Just,
I like, don't know.
Just make him seem like, you're mean.
I don't know.
To Moose, I hate your stinking guts. You make me vomit. Love, Hunter Dunbar. You're an off PS, you're the scum between my toes. I've got that part of the quote, because that's for Little Rascals.
Barbara.
Oh, jeez.
Barbara. They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Oh my god, this movie hurts my head.
Do you just love it when a movie like this quotes way better movies?
Yeah.
That's what I think. Like, if you're gonna, like, make reference to better movies, don't do it in a shit movie.
Why don't you know that? I'm starting to think you don't know anything about horror pictures.
Sorry to disappoint.
It's not bad, it just isn't a treat. I think Danny's
God, there's still 20 minutes left.
You have no ice cream.
No, I know.
Fridge at all.
I'll work on it.
Look, here, taste it. Go ahead.
What is he doing and why?
See? It's not sweet. It's not a treat. They need good tasting treats and horror pictures.
I think at least I guess what Fred Durst is trying to say, like, even though, yes, Moose is a stalker. Like, he just doesn't know better, and he just thinks it's all like a game, like a kid's game or something like that.
Not
he doesn't
even
realize the whole repercussions of all this.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. And that's the problem with this movie. It's like, it's sending so many different mixed messages of what it's trying to say, and every decision just doesn't, I mean, from a character standpoint, storytelling standpoint, just doesn't make sense. Or if it tries to, it contradicts what's already happened before.
Yeah. It's really dumb.
I mean, at the end of the day, I'm not even sure what this movie is trying to say.
I really don't know.
Celebrities should treat their fans better?
Don't be a dick to your fans because they'll bash the shit out of you? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, though, is it, like, really siding with Moose with all of this, after all?
I don't know.
All right, man. It's okay.
I don't get it.
It also has to say, as we've already stated before, that Devon Sawa is, like, gives the better performance than John Travolta, who's got 2 Oscar nominations to his name.
It is a much better performance.
Okay. Hmm. And it's clear, because we, having already seen this before, he's just doing this to trick Moose to let him go. But he plays it really well. Like, you can see why Moose would buy, thinking, like, oh, he's being very sincere. But he's, we as an audience know he's just doing, he's pretending.
I will sign whatever you want, whenever you want, for the rest.
He's mean!
That's another promise. That is a lifetime commitment.
Sign for me.
For real fans.
Oh, God. This is so dumb.
Sign for me personally? Because everything on eBay is a lie. It's a fake.
Oh, God.
Hell yeah.
Yeah?
Hell yeah. You're smart. You're real smart. I will sign everything personally to you. What's your name?
Moose?
Okay.
What kind of a fucking name is that?
All the autographs will be personally autographed to you, Moose.
Also, we should tell everyone that originally the movie was meant to be titled Moose. And not The Fanatic. I think it got changed just before it got released. But I can understand, like, even though, yeah, it's named after the character, but I can definitely see why they would change it, because when you see a movie with the title Moose, you're not sure what type of movie it's going to be.
Yeah, that's true.
And The Fanatic pretty much tells you everything. I'm not going to hurt you. Oh my gosh, jeez, I'm not going to hurt your kid. Oh my gosh, I might hurt my acting career, but not your kid.
Black is a
they try this technique called visualization.
What is that? It
means to imagine.
Being in a better movie.
You want to try this technique with me?
Here, come here.
Now, what you need to do is visualize having better hair as well.
Drop your shoulders. Relax.
Is John Travolta's hair in this movie, like, the most epic we've seen in a film in a while?
Yeah, it even outdoes some of the Nicolas Cage hair.
Well, that's the weird thing. It's like, I guess Travolta is trying to do a Nicolas Cage. Like, picking these kind of weird projects where he gets to, like, do his own version of Cage Rage and giving oddball performances. But that's the thing, though, with Nicolas Cage, he is an oddball person in real life. So it makes sense because he's always been like that, but Travolta has never been that kind of actor.
We're going to go one of those Hollywood fancy joints.
Mousseau-Franks, you're going to Mousseau-Franks?
And the film's just gone all pink all of a sudden.
My manager, he'll get us a table wherever you want to go. And when it's all done, we'll get a big bowl of chocolate ice cream.
It's so weird that this movie was shot by the son of Conrad L. Hall, the two-time Academy Award-winning cinematographer of American Beauty and Road to Perdition. Clearly, he didn't get his dad's cinematographer chops.
This is so weird.
This is weird.
We just gotta take these ropes off first, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Alright.
Okay.
Let's go and get some strawberry ice cream.
Man, where do you see this collection?
Yeah.
Oh,
Moose, you dumbass.
Jeez, you serious? No.
That's what this Moose is. He's just a dumbass throughout this whole movie. That's what offends me the most. He's just a dumbass.
Stitches all kind of nuts. Sea nuts, spare nuts.
Wait for it. He's now coming out of the fantasy sequence. And then BAM!
Bitch went down.
And he had his gun above his head.
And it shoots off his hands or fingers or whatever.
I think it was his fingers. And he pulls out the biggest fucking knife since Rambo. This scene actually legitimately took me aback when it happened the first time.
Yeah, you don't expect it. At all.
Yeah. But again, I guess that's the it's trying to be subversive like that. Almost to the point, like, this isn't just like, you know, someone who's being sort of fighting back against their captor. This is like friggin' Hunter Dunbar turning into Michael Myers right now. Oh! And Moose is still wearing the exact same shoes that I have.
You can't leave, Moose.
They are the same shoes. I'm freaking out.
I just like the movies.
I'm just your biggest fan. He shoots around his head to, like, ring it out to wreck his eardrums. And then, now here comes the part that really was like, holy fucking shit. He pulls out the knife and fucking stabs him in the eye. Look at him.
Yeah. He barely did anything.
Yeah.
But do you think, like, Hunter should have done that to him?
Yeah, because now Hunter Dunbar's like, holy fuck, what have I done? Like, I've taken this way too far. But even then, it's like, I guess that's what Fred Durst is trying to say. Like, yeah, I mean, he was being stalked, but he didn't have to go to this extent to fight back against, you know, his stalker. Again, that's where the whole bitch messenger thing comes in.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Yeah. I need to read some kind of, like analytical essays into this movie, because I need answers to all this stuff.
Does he call the cops now?
No. And this is where, like, Moose is, like, really turned, goes into full child mode.
Yeah. He wraps his hands up, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's it.
See, yeah, he like, doesn't even do that to his eye. It's like, okay, I'm sorry I blew off your hand and stabbed your eye and wrecked your eardrums. On your way, here you go, here's some money, you can leave now. See, all this would have been avoided if Hunter Dunbar just called the cops.
It all could have been avoided. Except for that one thing that he was apparently too stupid to do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We're almost close to the end of this movie, and one thing that's still plaguing our minds, or at least most audiences watching this film for the first time will probably have, does anyone still know that the maid is still dead in the backyard?
No, no one cares.
Yeah. This movie's trying to say that maids don't matter.
So, let's see. Did anyone learn a lesson? I don't think they did.
Yeah. I don't think Moose learned a lesson.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Especially when we get to the very end of the movie. And Hunter Dunbar, I think the only thing is like, well, maybe I should stop being a dick.
That's what I don't get. Like, I just don't get it.
These two did what? Your costume's cool, dude. I don't know who you're dressing up as, but it's cool.
Yeah.
You'd think somebody would help Moose. I mean, look at him. He's, like, bleeding out a lot of blood. And I blame all this on Leah as well. If she didn't tell him where the app was, like, the app to use to find out Dunbar's house, then he probably wouldn't have... Moose probably would have found out where he lived anyway, but still...
Yeah, but what I don't understand is how does Moose get away with what he's done?
Yeah.
Because we see that he get, like, Hunter gets arrested.
Mm.
Right.
And there's the maid. And there's the maid there.
But they would find Moose's DNA on her.
Yeah. Because the cops finally show up, but it's not them who call them, it's the gardener. Who's finally found the friggin' maid in the backyard. And the first thing is like, oh yeah, it's probably this guy, and it's...
Well, he's probably thinking they're there because of Moose attacking him.
Hmm.
But it's the gardener who's like, nah, I saw him kill her because, you know, he was a dick to the gardener.
Hmm.
Maybe this movie's just trying to say, don't be a dickhead? I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
It's a really just dumb ending. Like, it ends with him getting arrested and nothing happens to Moose.
Yeah. And also, like, how can they say, like, he could... Like, they would think, oh, he's got blood over him. He must have been the one who killed the maid. But the maid's been out the back there for at least 2 weeks.
Yeah, but they're gonna find, like, it's not her, even her blood.
Yeah. And also, we might add, that, like, all he has to say is, like, I've been stalked by someone, and all they have to do is, like, look around and find Moose's photos of him being at the
house. Yeah, I know. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, this whole movie doesn't make sense. And I guess this whole final picture is meant to say, like, I am not a stalker!
And then it ends with that line?
Yeah.
John Travolta.
I guess
is
like
the fanatic.
Well, it's clearly like.
Oh, Moose.
Moose. In the fanatic. Moose, the fanatic.
Okay.
Well, I guess the final picture, I guess, is meant to say, like, now, despite his injuries, like, Moose will use his injuries to become a pirate instead of a British cop now.
No.
So basically, he gets away with being a stalker and is never called out on it at all.
Yeah, this movie doesn't make any sense.
And I like how this movie, like, even though we had the credits at the beginning, like the whole cast and crew credits, let's show them again for this movie at the end here. So we can be reminded of all the people who've invested money into this. Oh, jeez. What a trip of a movie.
Yeah, just a little bit.
I guess that's kind of what, even though, yeah, it is a shit movie, and we've discussed it a lot about it on this commentary, but it's a fascinating shit movie.
It is very fascinating, and I don't get it.
Yeah, it's like, to me, I can definitely see why this film has now sort of have a huge cult following.
Mm.
Like, why our good friends over at the Horror Return podcast are huge fans of this movie. Like, I think they hated this movie at first, but now the more times they watch it, the more they, like, love it. And I know a few, even everyone over at the Screencast, who I write for every now and again, they are big fans of this movie as well.
It is something special.
Indeed, indeed. But that's the thing, though, it's the kind of bad movie I think the best type is, because you can definitely tell, and it's very clear as well, that they're trying to make something good, and Fred Durst is trying to say something with this film, but it just ends up, the execution of it ends up being pretty bad. Stunts for John Travolta, Nick Lorre. Now we just have to sit for these credits.
Mm-hmm.
But my favorite part of the credits is always trying to find people with the weirdest names. There's a Chip Kilpatrick. Oh well, at least all these people got paid. I got paid. What was the last movie you were a part of? I worked on The Fanatic. John Travolta had a hair consultant.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody created that awful wig for him. I thought it was just like a dead cat that they just put on top of his head. I will say this, the score is actually pretty good.
It's weird.
Yeah. Which, I, again, sort of adds to the whole trying to be serious of this whole movie.
They needed a part two.
Yeah, what do you think would happen in a part two if they ever made it? I just want to find out, like, Moose decides to, like, stalk somebody else. Just remake the movie again. And again, at the end, like, Moose gets away with it and learns absolutely nothing.
Pretty much. I'm glad we know he did the catering.
I think we can both agree, like, I guess it's trying to... Moose or Hunter is technically the bad guys of this movie, but it's clearly Leah who's the real villain of this movie. Because she could have put a stop to all this, but she could be a good friend, but clearly she didn't. And also Hunter Dunbar as well, because he was a dumbass and not called the cops. So yeah, Marty, your overall thoughts of The Fanatic?
It's a movie.
It's a movie. But will we recommend this movie to people, especially those who love bad movies?
It's definitely high on the scale.
Oh yeah. I look forward to, like, showing this movie to other people.
Yeah, like, it's definitely something special.
Yeah, this is one I think we could easily put in rotation with, like, the ones that we watch all the time or show other people, like, No Retreat, No Surrender, Troll 2, The Room, Tammy and the T-Rex, and many others.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I want to find... Okay, so the song in the credits is called The Truth from Limp Bizkit, the one that played in the movie.
Ah.
Yeah, I don't must have come from like one of their later albums because it doesn't ring a bell. Special thanks to all these suckers who invested in this movie. Aww. Dedicated to Bill Paxton.
Aww.
I think that's a nice little touch. Being that his son's in this movie as well. Pretzel Fang Films. What a weird combination of two words together to make a company. This picture was made in the jurisdiction of a lot of cocaine. Holy shit, these credits are going on forever.
They kind of are.
And they're going slower than most credits usually do. I guess they must have had, like, a long time, so we got to squeeze in at least 10 to 15 minutes of credits. Filmed on location in Alabama?
Wow. Okay, then.
Well, it's obvious some scenes were shot in L.A., but I guess some of the other stuff must have been shot there. Like interiors and shit. The events, characters, and films depicted in this motion picture are fictitious. Thank goodness.
Like your thank goodness at the end.
Yes.
Alright, now we can...
That's the end of the movie.
Stopped that. Yeah.
And so we'll thank all of our listeners for listening to this audio commentary.
Mm-hmm.
Or the Fanatic. I hope you guys all enjoyed it. I can especially imagine, like, never seen this movie before. Probably just their minds are probably blown right about now.
Yeah. It is something special, that's for sure.
Indeed, indeed. And before we go, Marcy, where can people find you on the internet this week?
Where can they find me on the internet? Well, you can go to Twitter, because I'm on Twitter, twitter.com/supermarcy. You can find us on our Facebook page at the Super Network on Facebook. You can like The Art of MP on Facebook, which is my art page, or you can like my Martella Papandrea freelance writer page on Facebook, and you can join our Super Network group, which is the Super Network group on Facebook. And that's it from my end.
If people want to find me, they can find me at my Twitter page at twitter.com/bjamine. And also, even though we've been a bit quiet in terms of site content lately because, you know, for obvious reasons, because we've both been moving around and a bunch of other stuff. But if people want to read all of our stuff, like reviews and columns and also other podcasts, they can all find us there at supermarcy.com. And also, if you want to help us out by becoming a subscriber to the podcast, you can subscribe to us at patreon.com/thesupernetwork. And Marcy, we actually have a new patron as of a few weeks ago. Our good friend Brian Stitcher from The Horror Returns is our latest patron. So thank you, Brian, for subscribing to our podcast.
Thank you for being a Patreon. We are very happy to have you on board.
Indeed, and of course, like I said, if anyone else wants to contribute, they just need to go. You can go to patreon.com/thesupernetwork, and we have some really awesome perks there you can check out.
As low as
$2.
Well, I was going to say, if you were a Patreon subscriber, you would be listening to this podcast early, but since you guys are not, you're listening to it later, so meh.
Exactly. That's the key one, because if you're a Patreon of ours, you get to listen to this podcast 24 hours before it drops online. And we also have some other perks there that if you want to contribute more, because we have some pretty other awesome bonus stuff as well. But so you can go there. Also, you can also find our podcast, all of our mini podcasts like the Super Podcast, our audio commentaries, the King Zone, and Podcasters of Horror at Apple Podcasts, as well as Stitcher, Castbox, and Spotify. Mm-hmm. So, and also, if anyone wants to read my column, Horror Down Under, you can find that over at thescreencast.com. And I will have a new one very soon. It's just, yeah, the past few weeks have been pretty busy for me. So once everything sort of settles down on my end, I'll write up a new one. And it's one that I'm really excited to write about. So keep a lookout for that. So once again, thanks to all of our listeners for listening to this audio commentary. I hope you all enjoyed it. And we'll see you all later. See you, everyone. Bye.
All right, partner. Keep on rolling, baby. You know what time it is.
Rolling, 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 rolling.